Hello, everyone. All right, so looks like our setup is okay. Now, so today is the live session for data analyst related question and answers. And we have a special guest here, Alex, the analyst. Many of you might know him already. He has an awesome YouTube channel where he's doing a career guidance related to data analyst career especially, and I have put a link of his YouTube channel link in the video description below. So please make sure you go and check it out. And in this session, we'll just any questions that you have related to especially the data analyst career, please ask those questions, and we'll go like first in, first out. Okay. So Alex, first of all, like, thank you very much for joining, especially on a weekend. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having me on. This is super exciting. I love doing stuff like this. For those of you guys who don't know me, I'm Alex the Analyst on YouTube. My real name is Alex Freeberg. I work as a data analyst. I've been working as a data analyst for about 5 years or so. I started off really small company at a nonprofit, started working at a healthcare analytics company, and now I'm at a Fortune 500 company where I've been a data analyst for about 2 years. And so I've kind of worked my way up over the years. And then I started this YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel, everything that I'm trying to do is just help people become data analysts. I found it really challenging when I was first starting. I didn't find a ton of great resources. And so I decided when I started doing a little better, I was going to try to be that resource for other people. And so that's basically what I'm trying to do with my channel. And so if you're trying to become a data analyst, check out my channel. Hopefully it'll be helpful for you. Other than that, I mean, I'm excited to answer some questions. I know people are already asking questions in the chat. And one of them, we were just chatting before, one that I think is going to be really popular or a big question today is on the Google data analyst certification. This one is definitely the super popular. Everyone wants to know, like, is it worth it? Is it worth taking? Should I take the IBM data analyst certification? Because that's another really popular one on Coursera. Just super quickly, I've already taken the IBM data analyst certification. I have that. I know it really well, and I've been going through the Google one. And if I'm being like super honest, I think the Google one is better. I just like how the people teach it. I like that they're face to face. It's not PowerPoints or kind of like these animations. I personally like that better. I also think that something that is super unique to what Google does through Coursera is they have kind of a job help program at the end. It's called an employer consortium. And what that is once you finish the certification, they are then going to set you up or at least send your information to all these employers who are looking to hire people just like you, which is super unique. And I don't think there's any other certification on Coursera that does that. Of course, nobody has finished the Google Data Analyst certification yet because some of the final two or three courses aren't available. But when that is available, I'm going to be finishing that certification to see exactly what that means. I'm not actually job hunting. If anyone, if anyone at my company is wondering, I'm not doing this to job hunt. I'm
If
doing
your
this.
boss is watching this
Exactly. If my boss is watching, I promise I'm not job hunting. I just want to see it for the, for the subscribers who want to know that information. It's the only reason I'll check it out.
great. So by the way, Alex has a video for Google Data Analytics certification review. I have put a link of that video in the video description of this live. I just put it, so just refresh it if you don't see it. So you just watch a video and he has given a brief overview. But can you like briefly mention what is covered in that course? Because I was just going through the Coursera, the overview of the course, and it looks very, to me also it looks promising because it's not just about technical skills. It takes you
Right.
step by step how to understand the problem, how to do data collection, how to do data cleaning. and there is a project and it teaches you about R, SQL. So it looks like a perfect mix of all the different dimensions that you deal with when you become a data analyst and go start working for some corporate.
Right. I think the concepts that they cover are fantastic. I will say, I don't think it's perfect because it doesn't have Python in there, but I do think that it is very, very good, especially for beginners who are trying to understand the concepts of data analysis. You know, like you mentioned, there's data wrangling, data mining, data cleaning, all these things that when I started, I had no idea what they were. Even when I got my first job, I didn't know what some of those things were. I just kind of picked it up as I went. So to have a course that will walk you through all of these concepts is really valuable. And so for a lot of people starting out, I think it's a great place to start. Some of the big things that they go over are things like spreadsheets. So for the Google one, they use Google Sheets. You can also download the Excel. They do SQL, and that's done in BigQuery in Google Cloud Platform. Of course, they're going to promote their cloud platform as well. I didn't think anybody thought they'd do anything different. And then you'll learn R and RStudio. And, you know, whether you want to learn R or you want to learn Python, I think that taking this course is still valuable. If you're like a Python fanatic like myself, you know, I still know R, at least the basics. I'm pretty good with it. I feel like it's still worth taking because the other benefits that you get through this course are still really good. And so like interview prep, resume prep, helping build a portfolio, all those things that you get in this are still huge benefits of taking it. And if you want to learn Python on the side, like you're a huge Python person like myself, you just take a Python course supplementary to this, and then you learn both R and Python. That would be my biggest recommendation is if you are like, you know, completely against R, I would still take it. Then just learn Python on the side. It does not hurt to put both R and Python on your resume at all. And so that's a lot of the big things that they go over. I think that for the vast majority of people who are just starting out in the field, those core concepts are all covered. So you don't have to kind of piecemeal together yourself and find different courses that cover things. They set it all out in front of you and they basically say, here's what you need to know. And I've gone through a lot of it. I've gone through like maybe three or four courses now out of there. I think there's eight or nine. I've gone through the first, I think, four courses and it's really well done. I really like the teaching style. I like all the concepts that they cover. It's just a really good course, to be honest.
And to your point about R versus Python, if they're teaching just R and, you know, if you have a couple of exercises or assignment that you're doing in R, then a nice homework for you would be to do the same thing in Python, right?
Right.
So that way you get some homework exercise and you build some Python skills. And as you mentioned it, having both Python and R is going to make your resume a killer resume. So that is a benefit to it.
For sure.
Bikon Kumar Das is asking, please talk about remote data analyst role. Now, I know there are some jobs, especially in the current situation, companies are more flexible and they're allowing people to work as a data analyst remotely. But I think this question is probably coming, Bikon Kumar Das seems like he's from India and probably people who are in Asian countries. And if they want to do a remote job, let's say for clients who are in Europe or US, have you seen in your experience these kind of jobs, Alex?
These jobs are definitely available. I think that, and this is just my personal experience, because I've been, you know, I try to help people find jobs often. I refer jobs to people. One thing that this question has come up a lot. And a lot of people from, like you said, India or in Europe who are wanting to either make the transition here or work remotely. One thing that I kept facing was that a lot of companies are wanting to hire remote, but they still want them to be local, which is kind of odd. And I would ask them, I'd say, this is a fully remote job. Do you ever plan on them coming into the office? And they're like, nope, it's fully remote. We just want them in the area. And so I don't know personally if it's growing to be remote from you know, out of the States or wherever you are. I think that there still are those opportunities, but it kept happening where people were saying it's a fully remote job. We just want you to be near where we are, where our base is. Again, I don't know why that is. That's just, I kept seeing that.
I'll tell you the reason behind it, because let's say if there's a company in US and if they're hiring an employee, although the person is working remote, if that person is, let's say, from India, then they need to still, I think, file H1 and all that. They need to go mm-hmm. through that process, because you are an US employee, and in order right. to work as a US employee, you have to get through your H1 visa. Maybe that something related to that. Mm-hmm. But Began, if you are in India, let's say if you want to work for an Indian company, let's say some service-based company, let's say Accenture, who might have clients anywhere in the world, I think those kind of jobs are certainly possible, especially in current situation. People, I think majority of the people are working remotely. So yeah, you can feel free to pick up the next question.
Yeah, I'm reading through the questions right now, actually. Soumya Maturu, mm-hmm. I did my best on that one. The question was, for a non-programming background, how to be a sound data analyst and what skills are to be learned and how to step on those skills. But I think she's asking, you know, what steps should you take to learn those skills? Mm-hmm. I think that for the vast majority of people, one of the most underrated skills when you're first becoming a data analyst, especially if you come from a non-programming background, one of the best ones to learn first is learn SQL. I think it's one of those core skills that a lot of people skip over. They go straight to Python or straight to R or something like that. And they skip over learning like databases, data types, learning structured data in a database. I think that is, to me, one of the biggest skills that if you're coming from a non-programming background and you aren't comfortable with Python or some of these other programming languages, I would start with Excel. I would start with SQL, and then I would learn like Tableau. If you can learn those three things really well, you set yourself up really good for an actual job. And then you can learn Python or all those, I would consider a little bit more complicated things later on, because they're going to be a lot tougher, I think, if you're coming from a non-programming background.
All right. Sahil Kumar and Ahmed is asking kind of similar question. One question is, give some ideas on data analyst projects. And the second question is, ideas for projects to build a strong GitHub profile. So I have on my channel, I have done like two or three different data analyst related projects. One is on a personal finance management. So we built a Power BI dashboard for that. Second one is a sales data insight. Again, we built a Power BI dashboard for the real corporate style data, you know, how the projects are executed in pro corporate world. So you can check those two projects and maybe try to do similar project, maybe using a different data set. Now you can get data sets from Kaggle, Google it. There are various sources available for data sets. So those are my two cents. Like, Alex, do you have any thoughts on people? This is a common question, by the way, that people are looking for some good data analyst type of projects to practice, something that they can put on their GitHub profile.
Right. I have every intention of making a video on this, but I haven't. So you guys are going to get to at least hear my thoughts before I even make a video on it. When people ask me this, I usually tell them the same thing. I say, you know, you want to show off several skills, but you want to show that you can do an end. I would consider a quote on a data analyst end-to-end project, which is different than like a data science end-to-end project or, you know, a full stack engineer or whatever you want to say. So what I recommend doing is finding a data set, whether that's a raw data set or a dirty data set or a completely clean data set, and put it in SQL and do data exploration with it. You know, discover what insights you can find in the data and then, you know, create a view from that. So super simple. That's one project, which is just getting data in there, getting some insights and creating a view, then taking Tableau and connecting that to your database and pulling that view in and then creating your visualizations. And what that does to me, and I think that it's a good sign when I can see that somebody has that idea of, you know, it's going to go into a database somewhere. You're going to have to do something in SQL with it. And then you can pull it into Tableau and create the visualizations. I think that the visualization piece is where a lot of people tend to go to first. They create the Tableau dashboards or the Power BI dashboards first. And personally, at least from my kind of work, we do SQL a ton. And so I really like when people have some type of SQL project or something where they're showcasing their abilities there, because that is a big value to what I do and what my team does. And so, you know, I think that just those two projects of getting it in SQL and then connecting that with Tableau and showing that that end-to-end process is a really good place to start.
Perfect. Now on Tableau, let's say if you're a student, you get a free license, but if you're a working professional, like what do you do? Because it's pretty expensive.
Right.
I generally advise people to use our Power BI.
Right. Well, and you know, I totally can sympathize with that because when I first started out, I was dead broke. I couldn't afford to pay for Tableau, but they have Tableau Public. Just make sure that the data set that you're using isn't like private information, because Tableau Public is public to anybody. Anybody can see it or look at it. And so don't put like, you know, your credit card information or like your address in there. Just use generic data and you should be good. That's what I recommend people to use if they're trying to use Tableau.
So Tableau Public is that web browser based, right? The one that you install on your computer is a Tableau desktop.
It is. I actually have, I have it pulled up on my screen. It's Tableau Public and you can download it as the actual like software. So it's something you can download as a desktop version too.
Perfect. Great. Okay, we can take it. Sudhansu Singh, looks like is a common subscriber. Love you both, excited. Well, good to have you, Sudhansu, here on this live. A best and ideal approach for performing data analysis. Gudururu Pradeep Reddy. So Gudururu, this is a very generic, abstract type of question. A best and ideal approach for performing data analysis. Well, it depends on problem to problem, right? Like what kind of, usually there is a process to like when you talk about data analysis process, there are general guidelines. Like first, when you take your data, you want to do obviously data cleaning because it will have errors because of either data entry or hand manual errors. So you want to do data cleaning, remove outliers, maybe using as simple technique as like 3 standard deviation, remove everything beyond 3 standard deviation or 3.5, whatever. And then you do data visualization. And after that, it really depends on what is your end goal. Any thoughts, Alex, here?
I was reading through the questions. I heard a little bit about what you said because I was searching for questions while you were doing that.
No problem. I think we can move on to the next question because that question was very generic and I'm kind of sure I answered it. And Gududuru, if you feel you didn't get a satisfactory answer, please ask a specific question. Do you have any use case in mind? Mention that in the live chat and we'll pick it up. All right.
I did find a good question though. let me find it real quick. It's from Nandhini. I said Nandini. Yes. Go with that. It says, simply learning through online is worthy or institutions is better to start career in data science? And tell me how much math is important in this field. So the first one is, you know, can you just learn online or do you need to actually go get a degree? Like how important is that? Again, a super important question for a lot of people because right now there are lots of good offerings in terms of, you know, Coursera and Udemy and, you know, doing like boot camps. So doing that like self-learning style, or do I need to go back and get either a bachelor's or a master's degree? I think that if you already have a bachelor's degree, I think that especially if you're very self-motivated, you can do 95% of the learning yourself. That's my personal opinion. I think from my, because I have a bachelor's degree right now, but nothing related to this field, but I've done somewhat well. I think that if I'm going to progress further my career, like become a manager or get farther, I will need a master's degree. With that being said, you know, there's a lot of other factors that come into play, right? You know, where are you from? You know, how competitive is the market there? All these other things. But for me, I think that a lot of people can take these self learning path. I think that they'll be just as successful starting out. I do think that later on in your career, you may need to go back and get some type of formal education to make it a little bit further in your career, if that's where you, you know, are still going.
I totally agree. If you are self-driven, you find all kind of courses, often free resources to learn things on your own. For example, I'm a software engineer. Like whatever data science, data analysis I learned, it was all through practice and free resources. I have not spent any money on any courses actually.
Right.
So you can definitely learn it, but you have to look at your personality. Some people, their personality said that they need some hand-holding. So in that case, yes, go on more like instructor-led courses. There are instructor-led courses, workshops available as well. So you can go for that.
Right.
Okay. I will probably take the next one. Antorip Zana, thanks for conducting session. If Pandas is equivalent or to be correct, it is better than SQL languages. How much of SQL knowledge is required for a data analyst role? So first of all, comparing Pandas with SQL, I don't think if that's a right strategy. Pandas as an in-memory table on which you can perform SQL-like queries. But when you go work for a company, the data sets are going to be on disk, living in some database. Could be SQL, any SQL database, or MongoDB, non-SQL database as well. So knowing SQL and Pandas, I think Pandas is just, your data is in MySQL database, and then you retrieve part of that data, which is needed for your data analysis in Pandas, and then you do further cleaning or filtering on top of it. So I don't think one thing can replace the other.
Yeah, I think I think that both are super important. I think that learning SQL is a must. I usually tell people, at least learn up to joins, right? Learn the group by, learn how to use aggregate functions, and then learn join. Like that's 90% of what I use it for. I don't think you have to go crazy above that. You don't have to learn how to use temp tables or some of these slightly more advanced things. You don't need it, although it is very helpful. But I think you can get by with learning like the very basics up to joins, and you're good for almost everything you need it for. The more advanced things like Windows functions and all these others, more advanced things. Those to me are extremely helpful when you start getting a little bit further in your career. But again, when you're starting out, the basics are fine. And then, like you said, I think that Pandas, you know, if anybody starts trying to learn Pandas or Python, I always tell them to learn Pandas first. It's just the most relevant library that there is. And it's super, super useful. And so I think that learning SQL first and then learning Pandas, you'll learn how the data is structured. And Pandas has everything in like data frames. And so you'll learn a lot about those things through learning SQL. And it's just applying the same concepts to Python as well.
Perfect. And Antorip has a second part of his question, which is, can someone skip SQL? Which we answered no. As a data analyst, I think SQL is kind of needed.
Yeah.
Master is needed. Again, we answered it. No, master is not needed. Just basic concept. And these concepts are not a rocket science. They're very easy to learn, like basic group by primary key, foreign key, joining tables. Very, very easy. Khan Academy has a very good SQL basics course. Even a 10th grade student can learn it easily. So it's very, very easy. So just do it. And same goes for Excel stuff. How much will suffice? Well, Excel, it's huge. Excel, you can do so many things in Excel. Just learn basics, you know, like pivot table, some basic VBA macro, some basic plotting. And as you work on more projects, as and when required, you can always acquire new skills.
Yeah. Definitely agree. I think that, and I will say that somebody asked me that exact same question. I said, you can skip SQL, but the job market for only knowing Python is very small. And so you're going to really limit your job opportunities if you skip SQL. And so, I would not recommend skipping it. That's what I would say.
It's like you're a chef. Let's say, think of data analyst as a chef who is making a pizza. You need to know from where to get your raw ingredients, your bread, your vegetables, your cheese. So those ingredients come from a database. If you don't know how to get them, you can't do the next step, which is preparing a nice recipe, you know, like cleaning vegetables and things like that. I'll just finish this one and then maybe in Alex, you can make the next question. So Zana, again, I think he has a third question as well. Please consider both the perspective, getting hired as per US job market, knowledge and self-development aspect of for competitions or something else. The above is under the consideration assumption that person is proficient in. I'm not very clear about your question, but if you're asking what do they look for data analyst jobs in US, well, they look for technical skills, which is SQL, Excel, one BI tool, basic knowledge of Python and R. You don't have to be expert. These are technical skills. And when it comes to soft skills, obviously excellent communication, you know, storytelling, critical thinking. These are like all the soft skills.
You know, one other thing I want to mention on that is data analyst jobs as a whole, the job descriptions are usually like all over the place. Every job, every company does them differently. And so I was just looking at for a video the other day, looking at some LinkedIn ones. And I was like, these job descriptions are all over the place. Like some of them include data cleaning. Some don't even look like a data analyst job. And so I think reading through the actual duties and job, the responsibilities of that job is super important, because somebody might call it a data analyst job, but it's maybe more of a business analyst job or something else. And so some keywords that I typically look for is, like you said, the technical skills. I always look for the technical skills first because I want to know if they're using these skills or if they're only using Excel, which there are some data analyst jobs that only use Excel, although I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. but with that being said, when you're reading through the job descriptions, you can look for things like data cleaning, data dictionaries, data mapping, data wrangling. Some of those keywords that I can just skim through and quickly see, okay, they're doing some of these data analyst type work. And then if I see that, and then I see the technical skills, I then know, you know, these people kind of know what they're talking about. The job seems much more data analyst focused than, you know, something else. And so I look for those things as well.
All right.
One question I saw in here, which was from, I'm going to say this really terribly, but forgive me, Benisa Anis Rami, really terrible. I'm sorry. But he asked a good question, which was, do you need advanced knowledge in statistics in order to be a data analyst? I will say that I do not come from a math background, data analyst background, or anything. I was in healthcare, like on the therapy side of things.
And what is your bachelor's degree, by the way? What was
it called? Recreational therapy.
Recreational therapy. So it's kind of motivating for everyone, because many times people ask me, they are from non-relevant background, can they become data analysts? Now, here is a person who is from healthcare industry.
Well, I think that I come from the weirdest background ever. I wanted to go and become a physical therapist. And so this was like a prerequisite. I was going to do an undergraduate in recreational therapy, which again, nobody's ever heard of. It's very small, but at my school, then you can do that to go to a master's degree in like occupational therapy or physical therapy. Once I was out of college, I just, you know, again, I worked at a nonprofit. I found this job. So data found me and I just fell in love with it. And you were saying earlier something about how you didn't spend any money, which is amazing, learning like these things. I spent about $100. So and at the beginning, I only was on Udemy. So I was learning just through Udemy. I took maybe 10 courses or so, and then I got my first job. And so, you know, if anyone's out there who has like a weird background like me, it's definitely possible. I think it has more to do with just determination. I spent countless hours. I mean, I was spending 4 or 5 hours a night for months, like learning things and applying to jobs and all these things. So I just never gave up. And so it worked for me. You know, it's definitely possible. So yeah, definitely a weird background.
No, it is very inspiring. So you said like you learned all your skills in only $100. You have a job, you're a senior data analyst, you're running this awesome YouTube channel. There are people who, you know, when they want to pursue some degree through either online institute or go to college, the fees are very high often, you know, like very, very high fees. And people don't even realize that they don't need to spend crazy amount of money. It's all about self-determination. You can learn these things online easily.
I agree. Well, back to that original question, which is how we got onto that. So he was asking if statistics was important. I think that for some industries, statistics is more important than others. So I'm in the healthcare industry. I use my healthcare background. I work in the healthcare industry now. Statistics is not as important, although as I'm getting farther in my career, I'm finding it to become more and more important for the more advanced topics and things that I do. For the first 2 or 3 years, though, I don't think statistics was really important, hardly at all. To me, it was basic math, doing basic calculations, really just understanding the data more than anything, because healthcare is very involved. So really knowing the domain. Once I got my job that I work at now, statistics started becoming much more important. And I started doing, again, just more advanced things that I hadn't really used before. And so I think that when you're first starting out, my personal suggestion would be not to focus on statistics as heavily as learning the tools first and then learning the statistics afterwards. And there is a course, there's one on Udemy. It's like business analyst statistics. I did a review of it not too long ago on my channel, but there's one course that I took and it just like blew my mind. I was like, wait a second, I do that and I do this. I didn't even know that was statistics until I like really actually learned about it. And so I do think that statistics is important. Just in my opinion, it's later on, it becomes more important than when you're first starting out.
Siva Prakash is asking which NoSQL database to learn in 2021 for data analyst career. Different companies use different ones. I think once you use one NoSQL database, you will at least have concepts clear, and then using those concepts for any other NoSQL database is probably a matter of syntax. So I would probably learn MongoDB, Amazon. I think Amazon also come up with this DynamoDB. So learn, I would say, one. There is nothing like, okay, this one is better than other one. Although MongoDB is probably the most popular one. But as I said, like once you learn NoSQL fundamentals, those concepts kind of remain same. Any thoughts, Alex?
I like MongoDB as well. That was the one I was going to say right when you asked the question.
Okay. Yeah.
So this question is really interesting, and I'm going to ask you the question, and then I want to see what you say before I give my response.
Sure.
But this is from Kunal Kumar, and he said, how important will data analytics be in the fourth industrial revolution? And when he says fourth industrial revolution, I've heard this before. I wanted to know what, if you knew 100% what it meant, is referring to like, you know, the next progression, as in artificial intelligence becoming more prominent. And I believe that's what he's referencing. So how important will it be after that is much more prominent, you know, in our work and in our lives?
I think you're right. That's what he means. The AI kind of revolution that is happening right now. So the answer that I would like to give for that question is data analysis is going to be super duper important, because previously when businesses were making decisions, they were based on some past data and many times based on some general guidelines and intuitions. We have, by the way, I live in Jersey here, and for Indian groceries, we have this grocery store chain called Patel Brothers. And we know some small grocery store chains. And I know some of the owners of those small grocery store chains, and when they open their next new location, they generally go by general intuition that, okay, this is the area where demographics is Indian, so maybe we'll open it here and it will work. Whereas these Patel brothers, they're like very big. So they use IBM Watson, they do demographic analytics, they do like proper analytics, you know, and they open their next store based on their data analytics. So they let data decide where they want to open the next store. Because of that, they are so successful. I can't even describe it in words. I was in Atlanta to my friend's home, and they were opening a new location. And when they opened a new location, there are like huge lines. And I'm like, how could these guys figure this out? Whenever they open a new store, they open a new store here in East Windsor, like 50, 20 minutes away from my home. And they almost kill the business of all the other stores which were nearby, because right. They pick up their location, you know, whether it's on a highway, where are their demographics located, and what is the income distribution of their demographics. So making data-driven business decisions is becoming a trend for a right reason, because, you know, it helps your business grow. And as the data volume grows, like look at the world today, like there is so much data being generated through the wearable device, through social media, through general adoption of IT. Because of pandemic situation, people who did not have software, for example, or mobile app, those small businesses have started building all these applications, which is resulting into the exponential growth of data. So the first step is, okay, you build a mobile app or your software, typical web application, your, you know, IT solution. And that, as a second step, that results into a data growth. Now you have these databases, humongous data. And then people start thinking about the next step. Okay, what do you do with this data, mm-hmm. right? So the way I compare it is like, we lived in a world where having access to electricity was a problem. But now we never think about that, right? Like most of the world, they have easy electricity. So now the next problem we are thinking about is internet. Okay, do we have easy access? So let's say 100 megabyte, a gigabyte, or 5G network. So that's the kind of problem we are working on. So similarly, in I think 2019, 90s, the world was more about building software solution. And in 2020, now the world is more about building data analytics solutions.
That was a really good example with the store, because a lot of big companies are doing that and have been doing that for years. Like Amazon and Walmart and like these big companies, that's how they do everything.
Yeah.
And so I think that you're spot on with, we're going even further in to a data-driven world where data is everything. Now, I want to kind of read into that question just a little more, which is, how will data analysts play a part of that? I think that within the next 20 to 30 years, data jobs are going to look a little different than they do now. I don't think there's just going to be, data analyst, data scientist, data engineer, et cetera. I think that these jobs are going to overlap more than they used to. I think that right now, you know, in some aspects, they're kind of segmented. But I think that as we get further along and artificial intelligence, machine learning becomes more prominent in almost every area of the work, kind of work that we do, because, you know, that's the data is what's driving all of this growth. I think that we're just going to need to learn more. Like data analysts are going to need to learn more than they do today. They're going to need to learn a lot more about machine learning and artificial intelligence. And it might even evolve more towards a data science type role. And then, it just is going to look a little bit different, but they are always going to be there. I don't ever see a time within the next 50 years or so where we won't have data professionals like us who are, you know, working with the data, cleaning the data, doing all these things, because the data is so messy. It's, in my mind, it's near impossible for a machine or artificial intelligence or machine learning to figure all of that stuff out to not need us. It's just so involved of a process with the data engineers, the data cleaning with data analysts, and doing all that work. I still think they're going to be very prominent within the next, at least for the next 50 years.
Perfect. Mayank Gulati is asking, is IT background required to become data analyst? Of course not. You already learned Alex was planning to become physical therapist. He has a degree in healthcare, but now he become a data analyst in healthcare domain. So all the education he did, it's still helping, right? In terms of domain knowledge, he understands the healthcare as an industry, as a domain. Now he learned all these new skills by spending a lot of money, $100 on acquiring those skills. And now he's here. So if you have, let's say, mechanical background, electrical background, I know many petroleum engineers. I interviewed a few petroleum engineers recently who became data analysts, data scientists, but they are data analysts or data scientists in petroleum industry. So they're still relevant in their industry, but using those technical skills to perform data analysis.
Let me make a comment on that. That's a really good point, because I have a program where people can sign up and they can be like, I can mentor them. And a lot of the people that I work with, when they want let's say they're a teacher or let's say they're a nurse and they want to go and work for like Facebook or Google. And I'm like, well, slow down. Let's look at your background first. What do you have knowledge in? What can you, really add value when you join a company? Because if you're a nurse and you're going straight to Google for a data analyst job, that's, what value are you going to bring that's different than somebody else who has much more in-depth knowledge? I said, your value right now, since you don't have experience as a data analyst, your value lies in your domain knowledge. And so if you're a nurse, I was like, it's possible, but the best chance that you have for success is to stay within that healthcare industry and really use that knowledge of EMRs and working with patients and all these things, use that, and you can sell yourself to an employer 10 times better. And they'll be like, wow, you really know the healthcare industry. That's what we're looking for. So whatever industry that is, like you were saying, I would play really hard into that and make sure that, you can at least get some experience before you try to transition maybe into another domain or another field.
Amar Chanotia has a similar question. Can someone with five plus years experience in US staffing apply for a data science role? So sounds like you might be a good fit for HR data analytics, So although, if I understood correctly, you are in staffing company, which means you help kind of like an HR type of a role where you screen the candidates, arrange interviews, look at resumes and so on. Maybe you can go into HR data analytics is again a big field. So learn those skills and use your domain knowledge. You need to take a leverage of whatever you have done for so many years and make a good use of it along with the new technical skills that you're about to acquire.
Yeah, that was very similar to the last one. This one that I'm looking at, I'm going to extrapolate because I don't 100%. When I read it, it's not going to sound. I'm going to kind of explain what I think he's saying. It's from Sachin Pranav. He said, "How do he get experience from?" Which I think he's basically saying, "How did I get experience when I didn't, when I didn't have any?"
Yes.
So that, to me, that is 100% the hardest thing to do, is go from zero experience to the first year of experience, because who's going to take a chance on you? I have found that to be the top. Once you get 1 year experience, your possibilities blossom and you have 100 more opportunities than you did before. But it's really hard to get that first chance. For me, and this may be something that other people can look into, is I worked at a nonprofit. So I was working at a nonprofit. It was for people who had been like abused. And I was a daycare. I took care of the day-to-day needs of the people who were there. A job opened up. It was called a data collection specialist and analyst. I had never heard of that before. I didn't know what a data analyst was. This was like 5 years ago, so not that long ago. I apply for the job because it's only working in Excel. It's working with numbers and a few different things. And I thought it sounded really interesting. And my girlfriend, my now wife at the time, was like, hey, just apply for it. Just see what happens. So I get into
Was it in the same organization?
Yeah, the same organization. So I knew all the people. They knew me. We had a good rapport with each other. They knew that I was a really hard worker. And they were... And so when I applied, they already knew like my work ethic and who I was as a person. So when I applied, I kind of was basically like, I know I can do this, you know, give me a shot. I know I can do this work. I'll do a great job. And I was like, I have a lot of experience in Excel, and they gave me the job. And it turns out I was the only person who applied for the job. So they didn't have much choice, but that was my very first data job ever. And it was super simple. I only used Excel. They had a SQL database, but I didn't learn that until I was leaving. And so when I got that first experience, again, it was super low level, super easy. During that time, that's when I was learning SQL. I was learning Tableau in my free time. And then I transitioned into what I would consider a real data analyst job. And that was at the healthcare analytics company. And so I think that for a lot of people, when you're trying to get your first job, I wouldn't necessarily look at larger companies like Facebook or Amazon or Google or any of these companies. It's going to be really hard to get that job. I would look at smaller local companies or even the company that you're in now and ask, you know, like, I know all these skills. I'm trying to transition. You know, do you have any positions that are open? I think that for me, it worked. I got kind of lucky. But you may be just as lucky. I think that putting in that effort and showing them and creating a portfolio and you know creating that resume that has all those skills on it is going to make a huge, huge difference in those types of situations.
Manvi Chawla is asking, I'm currently in third year of statistics honors. Just wanted to know whether we should go for master's directly or gather some job experience once we are done with our bachelor's degree. Depends. If your goal is to become, let's say, data scientist or data analyst, you can do your master's degree. Maybe nowadays, there are master's degrees available in data science or data analytics. So if you do master's in that, so with statistics bachelor's and master's in data science or data analyst, your job chances of getting job opportunities are going to just go high, because now you have a mix of both the skills. If you plan to come to, let's say, US or Europe and want to build a career here, then of course, again, master's is highly recommended because that is probably one of the most popular ways of migrating to other country for job opportunities. Other than that, yeah, with just statistics honor, if you can directly get a job as a data scientist, then that's super cool, because that's probably more better than pursuing 2 years master's, because there you are just studying and here you are solving the real world problems. But again, just based on statistics degree, I don't think it's easy to get a job as a data analyst or data scientist unless you have learned those skills which we mentioned, right? The SQL, Excel, at least one BI tool. Yeah, so that's.
I want to comment on that, because something that I tell people and something that may be controversial, I don't think almost everybody should try to get experience out of college. I think that going straight into a master's for a lot of people ends up being a mistake. The reason I say that is because when you actually get a job and you start working in these things, your entire world changes. You start learning new skills, you start learning new job titles and positions, and you're like, wait a second, I don't want to do data science anymore. I want to do data engineering, or I want to be a manager or something. And that changes what you want to do. I know a lot of people who went and got a master's in computer science, or went and got a master's in physics, or all these different things. And they're like, I completely regret it. I wish I got experience, learned what I wanted to do, and then got my master's, which was catered towards my future goals. I think there's a small percentage of people who are like 100%. I only want to do data science. Like, I know that's my dream. I know I'm going to do it, you know, and then, you know, they go and get their master's and it works out perfect. I think for a lot of people, though, they end up regretting their decision to go straight to a master's because then they end up switching fields or switching careers or doing something like that. So for me, if I had gone straight to my master's out of school, I would now be like an occupational therapist or physical therapist somewhere. I wouldn't be doing this at all. But you know, now that I got out, I got a little experience. I learned what I wanted to do. Now I'm looking at my master's programs again, and I'm like, I know for a fact, if I go ahead and get this master's, it's going to help me, you know, progress in my career. So that's my general advice for, you know, getting a master's degree or getting experience.
That's a good point, actually. I never thought that way, but I think that totally makes sense. First, get a taste of what it looks like, and then you invest so much money and your time right. in masters.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. My goodness.
We have a special guest, by the way, attending the live session, Mr. Tom Cruise. So Mr. Tom Cruise is asking, following both of you for a while. Wow, see, we are so popular. Like Tom Cruise is following us. Can you please provide a roadmap for beginners in learning data science? Yes, I have a 6-month roadmap video. So just Google or in YouTube Code Basics Data Science Roadmap. You'll find a video with all free learning resources. He's also interested in learning stock market. So please suggest roadmap specific to get a job in finance. Okay, I might make a different video on the roadmap, but I have seen many people taking degrees in finance, you know, like finance, economics, they take a degree so that they build this domain knowledge. Then they learn again the same technical skills and they become data analyst or data scientist. So yeah, taking a degree in finance could be a good idea. But if you want to learn things on your own, then look at Kaggle, just figure out different finance projects and just work on as many projects as you can.
Yeah, there's a question here it is. It's from Pavan Kalin, I think. And it says, does internship matter or does projects, or are projects enough for an entry-level data analyst job? My take on internships are, if you are in like your third year of college, I think internships are a good idea. I think that for the most part, internships are only good if you are getting paid or you're not out of college. Because once you're out of college, the bills start coming in and you need to start making money. And so if you're getting a non-paid internship, it's really tough to survive. And so I think that internships can be good for people who are trying to understand the industry a little bit better, who are like, you know, juniors or sophomores in college. Once you get out of college, though, I would do my best to try to get an actual job at like an entry-level job, because just in the real world, you need money. And so when you're on like, when you get an internship, most of them aren't paid. And so that makes it kind of hard to, you know, pay your bills and other things like that. I think that projects and creating a good portfolio can be just as impactful. And it's free. Anybody can do it. Whereas an internship, you know, they're competitive. Some people may get them, some people might not. Whereas you 100% can control yourself and making projects. And so I think everyone, whether you have an internship or not, should do a project or a portfolio where you have multiple projects. If you get an internship and can get some, you know, experience while you're in your third year or whenever, absolutely do that. But I don't think it's a requirement. I think that a lot of people can just go straight out of college, do projects, and you create a good portfolio and get a job.
Priyanka Jain is asking, is it necessary to be good at front-end, back-end development in Python, Django, React, JS to get internship in data science? Absolutely not. You don't need to be expert in those. Those are more for software engineers. Jaden has a good question. I graduated with a BTech in computer science, but want to go into data science, but I find math concepts and theories so hard to grasp. Jaden, I understand many times computer science graduates, they have learned engineering mathematics in, let's say, maybe first year, second year, and after that, they obviously focus more on computer science. When you want to transition as a data into the field of data science, learning those concepts can be a little daunting, but I would say have enough patience, like learn those concepts gradually by following the right resources. When you talk about online resources, there is this great channel 3, Blue, 1, Brown. Mathisfun.com is very good for basic mathematics, Khan Academy. Like learn, let's say one concept every day or let's say few concepts every week, and you will build up that knowledge. And no one is asking you to be like a math genius if you want to become like a data scientist. If you want to become data analyst, then again, you don't know how to be math genius, right? So don't worry. I think sometimes when you read the job description, in job description, it will be a little bit hyped up, you know? They will be saying, oh, good, sound knowledge in math tests, but don't worry about that too much. Even when you read job description, if you have, let's say, even 50% of it, just apply.
Yash Solanki asked if they should go and get the Microsoft Data Analyst certification as a beginner if you have no previous industry experience. I actually took that myself, and I thought it was really tough. I found it a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And I actually had experience. I had been doing this for like 2 years, and I was like, this is complicated. This is tough. If you have no experience and you can do that, definitely try it. I found it really complicated. I don't think if I was just starting out to like, if I didn't know what I know now and I was just starting out, I don't think I could have actually done it. So if you want to try it and go for it, you know, I think it's a fantastic certification. It's from Microsoft, so it's very, it's going to be respected. But I will warn you, I found it quite difficult. And so if you're just starting out, I just want to, you know, kind of warn you, it could be quite the challenge.
Okay, we're about like 1 hour already. So maybe we can pick one or two additional questions, Alex. Okay. And okay. I know it's a huge list, but...
All right, let me look for one more.
Okay. And meanwhile, everyone will have another live Q&A session coming weekend. So I'm going to do probably on every weekend, I'm going to do this live Q&A. So if we couldn't answer your question today, I'm really sorry. We have a limitation of time. We'll try to pick up your question in the upcoming Q&A. So if you want to get your question answered, by the way, the beginning of the session, usually there is a less rush. So make sure you come on time and start posting a question. That way your question will be picked up.
So Pratik Singh asks how anyone can improve their soft skills with like critical thinking. I will say just soft skills in general are way more important than you probably think they are. I will say that you can't tell now. I don't think most people would be able to tell, but I used to be really bad at public speaking, really bad at communication. I was not an outgoing person by any means, like just maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I have found that these soft skills are way more important in getting a job, keeping a job, getting promoted than I ever thought. I thought it was mostly the technical skills. Now I'm like, I think the soft skills are so important. But how do you teach yourself these things? So something like critical thinking is, you know, it's just problem solving. Like, how do you solve a problem? How do you go about thinking about how to solve a problem? I think that for a lot of people, what you need to do is, this may not be something everyone can do, but I think you need to talk to someone who's in the field and ask them, like, what kind of problems do you encounter in your job? Find someone who's already in the field who knows some of the issues and try to think through how you would solve them. You know, you can get a data set and you can look at it and think, how can I find insights in this data? What can I find in this data that would help a business or help a company? That was really helpful to me when I was first starting out because I didn't really understand how the data was making changes in the business. And so if you have that mindset and you kind of go in there and try to solve a problem or figure out a problem and solve it with the data, I think that will really help with that critical thinking, problem solving. One thing that I think, you know, just a soft skill that I think a lot more people should focus on is their customer service abilities. I think that learning how to communicate with other people and learning how to communicate with teammates in a kind and effective way is going to do wonders for your career, I promise you. And how do you learn that? I think that, and this was something that I worked through for many years, just because I wasn't always as outgoing or friendly. I don't know if friendly isn't the right word. I wasn't always as outgoing. I think that something that you can do is kind of talk yourself through how you want a conversation to go. So if I'm going to talk to my manager, I want it to come out positive. I want to, you know, it to be a good interaction before you go into that meeting or when you're going to talk to someone. Just, you know, this is going to go well. I'm going to do these things and kind of talk yourself up a little bit. That's what I did for a long time. And now I'm at a place where I don't have to do that anymore. But, you know, communication skills are crazy, crazy important. And so, you know, if there was one soft skill that I would say to focus on and try to get better at, it's communicating. It's going to help you get an interview and land an interview and get a job. It's going to help you connect with other people on your team, and it's going to help you get promoted and be a good data analyst. And so, yeah, soft skills are really, really important.
It's super important. The people that the successful people, you know, the ones who climb up in the management ladder faster are the ones who have these soft skills, right? They climb the ladder in corporate world based on the soft skill. Technical skills are kind of secondary. Yeah. And when you talk about communication skills, like I worked for Bloomberg and I was attending one of Mike Bloomberg's session, and, you know, and he says this publicly in some of the articles that he has written, is accountability when it comes to serving your customers is very, very important. So for example, and this could be, let's say you're working in a corporate world or you are in a college doing projects, you're always communicating, right? Even if you're in college, you're communicating with your friends, your teachers, whatever. The accountability part is so important that let's say you have promised your professor to give him assignment, you know, after 1 week. And let's say if you cannot finish it, you can even drop a single line email saying that here's the situation, I'm not able to finish it. Maybe I need a few more days. So rather than waiting all the way till your teacher, your professor comes to you complaining that your deadline is past due, like what is going on? If you approach them, then the other person on the other hand feels very comfortable that, okay, this person is accountable. This project is in safe hands. Same goes with clients, right? You're working on a project for a client. If you have a delivery and if you cannot deliver on time, always drop a single line email. It takes few seconds that I'm on it. I know there's a deadline. I'm sorry, you know, and I need 5 days or whatever. And the other person will feel very comfortable. They are humans after all. They understand delays happen. So that was one thing I learned. And if you follow certain like very small discipline, doesn't take much effort, it makes you a great communicator. You trust more, you establish this trustworthiness, and it just helps in your career.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I like that a lot.
Yep. All right. So I think now we're going to stop. So Alex, again, the tips you shared was wonderful. Everyone is going to find it really, really useful. Again, Alex is running a YouTube channel. He's doing a lot of career guidance related videos. I think you have videos on SQL as well. I saw a couple of them. So if you want to learn basic SQL, you can watch his videos. And we'll have another stream coming weekend. Any final thoughts?
I had a blast. It was really fun. A lot of good questions. And so I love talking about this stuff. I could do this for all day, every day.
Great. Maybe we can have one more session in the future whenever you have time.
That sounds awesome.
All right. Thank you.